Yeah, my name is Alex Timbers, and I'm the director of Beetlejuice the Musical.
Which is, of course, making its world premiere here at National Theater, which is really exciting. You know, Tina Fey started Mean Girls here, West Side Story started here, and you're in good company. Our memories first go back to the Tim Burton, you know, movie and Michael Keaton and Winona Ryder. It was just, I mean, it's formative for so many of our childhoods. Was it for you, too? Do you remember when you first saw it?
Yeah, I was 10 years old when it came out, and I remember seeing it. It was extraordinary because it was unlike any movie you've ever seen in terms of its visual imprint, in terms of its sort of dark whimsy and the... And the sort of incredible, you know, performances at the center of it.
Yeah, but of course, what makes this such an amazing experience and why everyone needs to come out is it's a freaking musical. I mean, I've waited my whole life to see Beetlejuice sing. Well, there is some of those scenes where he's like dancing a little bit, right? How do you go about, like, which parts do you? I mean, I get some of this is sure, I'm sure with the writer, but. Which moments, when you go back and look at that story, I mean, I have the movie playing in my mind, but how do you pluck out which moments, like, oh, that's good for a musical number, there's a good spot for a musical number?
It's a fantastic question how you musicalize a movie, especially a beloved movie. And I think the way we thought about it was, instead of going and thinking about individual moments first, we sort of thought of, like, well, what makes this, like, a piece of theater? And one of the things that we were really interested in was the emotional journey that Lydia goes on and Lydia's relationship with Beetlejuice, which is sort of secondary in the film. And so we were like, we want to center the stage production around that. We want to embrace the fact that Beetlejuice is someone who can break the fourth wall and talk directly to the audience. So let's use him earlier. Let's use him often. Let's dig into that sort of, like, the kind of trickster relationship between Lydia and Beetlejuice that is so delightful. Let's explore that more. The other things that, you know, we thought, like, were sort of a gift were that so much of the film takes place in that one house. You know, obviously you go into the netherworld and other places, but, you know, in theater, having a single location set is something that you see all the time in place. So we said, could we create a kind of haunted house show? Not an immersive haunted house show, but like a, you know, kind of like a house that is haunted on stage, and see it transform over the course of the evening from the Maitland's home to the Dietz's home to Beetlejuice's home. And, you know, the kind of the magic of that transformation, how exciting could that be?
So go into that, because that's sparking me a bit. Just visually, sort of, what are we seeing there? Especially, I mean, a lot of folks will be coming to this around Halloween. It'll be perfect. So what exactly, as that transformation happens, like, what pick out some specific visuals, or is there fog effects? Or, you know what I mean? Like, direct it up for me.
Well, we have a lot of elements sort of that you don't traditionally see in a musical represented here. We have some puppetry. We have illusions. We have special effects, things like that. And those all sort of contribute to making sort of magical effects, taking us into the netherworld, for example, introducing us to a sandworm, you know? And those are important things from a story point of view, but they're also, you know, really fun to kind of imagine on stage. So we try to harness kind of all those elements as we tell the story. You know, it starts out as a kind of country farmhouse with the Maitlands, and then by the time Beetlejuice takes it over, it becomes kind of like a demon hell nightmare escape, you know? And so the house...
A lovable demon hell nightmare escape.
Yeah, so the house itself has a journey as well. You know, it's a character in itself, too.
Are there a lot of stripe patterns? I mean, I know... how does that play out? Is it just in his costume, or is that on the stage... Backdrop.
That's one of those things you'll have to see. Got you know, one of the challenges of, you know, adapting anything for the stage is you don't want to just, like, whack up the movie on stage, you know, and there's certain things that, you know, that are pleasure principles you want to fulfill or things that are story based, and then there's certain things where you're like, I don't know, you know, you don't want it to feel like kind of like a museum piece, and so it has to feel alive, and so, you know, the stripes are important, but sometimes you'll see the stripes in surprising ways.
Awesome. Is there, I'm going to make you pick one, is there a musical number that you, every night, that you're going to just adore watching unfold from the wings of the stage?
Well, we have many sort of original songs. I mean, Eddie's written this whole incredible score. But I think, you know, the Banana Boat song is obviously, like, you know, a big pivotal moment in the movie, and is something that we do in the show and sort of, you know, in our own way. But to me, it's really exciting because it's, you know, the first time that really the Maitlands attempt to possess people. And so there's real sort of comedy in it. There's pathos in it. And there's real sort of surprise and wit in it. And so it's something I always look forward to whenever we get to in a run through.
Is this right before intermission, or when does this happen?
Yeah, it happens towards the end of the first act, yes.
Awesome. It seems like that's where it would go. So.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited. Well, just in closing, you know, why should our listeners come out? They think they've seen it one way, but I promise them that it's never seen it like this.
I think what we've really tried to embrace with Beetlejuice is allowing it to be as funny as the film is, allowing it to be as edgy as the film is, for it to have a surprising emotionality that you don't normally equate with the film. So I think that my hope is that something that happens a lot with movies that become musicals, there's a sort of anesthetization of them that happens through musical theater. And my hope is that that this has a lot of this fun surprise and rough edges of the film without sacrificing the kind of emotional connection that you crave from a musical.
Sure. Awesome. Well, I can't wait to see it. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.